Can I ask you to bow once again in prayer, please? Father, as we come to face your own inspired, infallible word, we tell you again that we're not capable of saying anything worthy or anything of great value unless the Spirit of God enables us. And Father, I pray that you might give to me that help that comes from heaven, and grant to those who listen this morning that grace to receive. And we pray that in the closing minutes of this service, God will be honored, Christ will be exalted and glorified. In this we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. I was in a service last evening, and the preacher, I think, was a little academic, but when I was leaving it, an elder man, an oldish man, or perhaps a man getting a little older, he came to me and he said, "That boy was a bit over my head tonight." Well, I hope I won't be over your head this morning, because I want to look at some very basic yet simple, wonderful things concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ that Paul gives us here in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The resurrection is one of the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. And when I was asked for a title for this morning, I gave the title, "The Resurrection, the Dynamic of the Gospel." And if there's no resurrection, as we'll see later, there's no gospel, and there's certainly no dynamic in the gospel. It was the late Dr. John Stott who once said, if we remove the resurrection, Christianity is destroyed. And someone has said that the Easter story ends not with a funeral, but with a festival. And how true that is. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is powerful in his demonstration of how important the resurrection is and the meaninglessness of everything if the resurrection hasn't taken place. And I want to be really simple this morning, and I hope you will understand me. The first thing that Paul tells us here is this: if there's no resurrection, there's no Savior. He says in verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If there is no resurrection, there is no Savior. If we deny the possibility of the resurrection, if we deny that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, then we have no Savior this morning. And if there is no resurrection, then the incarnation and all our celebrations at Christmas and everything are really meaningless, and the vicarious death of Christ on the cross was a lost cause. But Paul does say there is a resurrection. But if there is no resurrection, there is no Savior. Old Dr. A.W. Tozer once said this: this is not a Santa Claus tale. It is history, and it's a reality. It's not a Santa Claus tale. It's history, and it's reality. No resurrection, no Savior. John Trapp was an old Puritan commentator and preacher, and in his commentary he says, never was there as great an imposture put upon the world as Christianity if Christ be not risen from the grave. Friend, it's a farce if Jesus hasn't risen. The whole idea of Christianity is completely superstitious if Jesus Christ has not risen. There's no Savior if he hasn't risen from the grave. But thank God this morning he has risen, and we have a wonderful Savior. And if you're here today and you still don't know that Savior, you're still a stranger to his grace and his mercy, let me commend that Savior to you on this Sunday morning, because he's living. And he's real, and he did rise, and because he rose, thank God we have a Savior. But Paul says, if there is no resurrection, there's no Savior. Weren't we singing, hallelujah, what a Savior? He's the only Savior. There is no other Savior. And we thank God this morning that he can be our Savior personally, individually. But the second thing Paul tells us here in this chapter is this: if there's no resurrection, then we have nothing to preach. He says in verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. It's useless, it's meaningless. What I've been doing for the last 50 years hasn't been worth doing. What every preacher that has stood in the pulpit of First O'Hockle, whether it's here or whether it's in the old building, all they have done has just been an absolute farce and uselessness. He said, if there's no resurrection, we have nothing to preach. Professor James Denny, the Scottish theologian, he said, the New Testament preaches a Christ who was dead and is alive, not a Christ who was alive and is dead. And if there is no resurrection, we have absolutely nothing to preach. In Luke 24 and verse 11, it says, and their words seemed to them like idle tales. And you know, that's what our preaching has been, if there's no resurrection, just idle tales. We've been talking rubbish. We've been talking nonsense. It hasn't amounted to anything if there is no resurrection. You know, there are some preachers who don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've had quite a number of them over the years. We often describe them as liberal men. But they were men with no message. I don't know how they preached on a Sunday when they didn't believe that there was a resurrected Lord. What gospel could they bring to a lost world if we have no resurrected Savior? And here is Paul saying, if there's no resurrection, we have got nothing to preach. Nothing to preach. Dr. Leon Tucker was quite a well-known preacher in the United States. He aligned himself for a little while with D.L. Moody. And Moody asked him to go and preach at a tent mission at Milwaukee in the United States. And one night, Dr. Tucker preached in that tent mission on the text, when they came to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And then he said this in the course of his message. He said, I laid him on the cross tonight. Tomorrow night, I will tell you what happened afterwards. Moody would not let him preach ever again. Well, he did preach again, but not maybe for Moody. And this is what Moody said. Don't you know a dead Christ on a cross never saved anybody? How do you know they will come back again? Don't ever preach on that text again without saying, God raised him from the dead. And friend, as Paul says here, there is no resurrection. Then we have no gospel. We have nothing to preach. We have no real vital message. But isn't it thrilling this morning that Jesus is risen from the dead? And we have a wonderful Savior to preach. What a Savior! No other religion can say that their founder, their leader, has risen from the dead. Oh, they might claim it, but it's not a reality. You know, the best message that ever came to this world came out of a graveyard. Came out of a graveyard. He's not here. He's risen. You know, a woman was teaching a group of Japanese children on the island of Hawaii. And she was teaching them about the death of Christ. And as she taught them about the death of Christ and about the sufferings of Christ, a little boy rose to his feet. And in the lingo of that part of the world, he said this, ah, this no fair. Him one swell guy. And a wee girl cut his shirt and pulled him down. And she said to him, don't get upset, sonny. He didn't stay died. He didn't stay died. And thank God this morning we have a Savior who didn't stay died. He's alive. And because of that, we have a message to preach. And it's the message maybe somebody needs in First O'Hockle this morning. It's the message our world needs. It's the message, friend, that Christ commanded the church to take to all the earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What was that gospel? It's the gospel of a Savior who died. Certainly he was buried, rose again. What a wonderful message. And Paul says here, if Christ is not risen, we have no Savior. And if Christ is not risen, then we have no message. But he is risen. We have a Savior this morning. He is risen. We have a message. But thirdly, Paul says, if there's no resurrection, our faith is vain. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. Wouldn't it be terribly sad if we were to discover today that all we have believed was all in vain because there was no resurrection? If our faith is in a dead man, then our faith is vain. It's empty. It's useless. It has no significance. For a dead Savior can only produce a dead faith, a false experience, a fictional experience, a spurious experience. And Paul says, if there's no resurrection, then our faith is vain. It's not worth anything. It's not worth believing in. All the documents and creedal documents and all the Westminster Confession of this world and all the catechisms of this world are just useless because our faith is vain if Christ be not risen. But thank God this morning our faith is not in vain, men and women, because Jesus has risen. Thank God our faith is not in vain, for Christ is risen from the grave. Bill Gaither put it well in that hymn that he wrote some years ago. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to live, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. We have a faith today, a real faith, genuine faith. Faith in the finished work of the Savior. Faith in the resurrection work of our blessed Redeemer. When Paul was writing his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. I want to know the power of that resurrection, says Paul as he writes to the Philippian church. There are many faiths around today, but men and women, the faith that is the faith that lasts and endures and is real and genuine is faith in a Christ who rose victorious from the grave. In Revelation 1 and 18, Jesus himself said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He lives in the power of an endless life. He will never die again. As the hymn says, the next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. And here is Paul saying, look, if there's no resurrection, we have no faith. But ours is a living faith. It's a vital faith. Men and women, as Christian people, let's make it in our individual lives a vital faith. Let's make it something that's real to us and allow the Spirit of God to do that for us. But the next thing I notice here is this, that Paul not only says if there's no resurrection, there's no Savior. If there's no resurrection, we have no message. If there's no resurrection, we have no faith. But he says if there's no resurrection, all the apostles and prophets and all the preachers down the ages were liars. In verse 14 and 15, Paul writes, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. We're only false witnesses. If there's no resurrection, all who have borne witness to Christ have been false witnesses. What we've been saying hasn't been true. Preachers of the gospel have been false and fraudulent, mere talkers, positive liars. You can see how Paul is so powerfully illustrating the uselessness of the Christian faith if there had been no resurrection. Oh, even the apostles and prophets and preachers, what they were saying was pure nonsense. Christ be not risen, then those great men who through the ages stood in pulpits like this and preached and declared powerfully the things of God, all those missionaries we sent to the mission field to tell the lost about Christ, they wasted their time. It was just useless. They were false prophets. They were talking about something that didn't exist, talking about something that wasn't real. You know, we asked the question this morning, is Christ risen? And you know, we can answer that in the words of an old hymn. Saints, apostles, prophets, martyrs, answer yes. Christ is risen. And thank God we have something to preach. But Paul says if there's no resurrection, there's no Savior, there's no message, there's no faith, the apostles and prophets and preachers and all who've preached him, they've just been mere liars. But then the fifth thing Paul says here is this. If there's no resurrection, he says, there's no forgiveness. Verse 17, and if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sin. There's no forgiveness. Friend, all our claims about being forgiven are false if Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, there's no justification. There's no redemption. There's no reconciliation. There's no forgiveness. There's no hope. There's no pardon. There's no rightness with God. Oh, says Paul, if the resurrection is not a reality, if Christ is not risen from the grave, then there is no pardon and there's no forgiveness. But thank God, as we were reminded the other night, he was raised for our justification. Raised for our justification. I told you a few nights ago that one of the teachers I had when I was a student, he said that one of the greatest pieces of theology was in Wilbur Chapman's hymn and the chorus of it. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, one day he's coming, O glorious day. Friend, there's forgiveness. Why? Because we have a risen Savior. A dead Savior couldn't forgive you. A dead Savior couldn't blot out your sin. A dead Savior couldn't pardon your many, many sins. But oh, a living Savior can. And Christ's resurrection was the seal of our justification. Stuart Kennedy, in one of his writings, he says, if Christ be not risen, the dreadful consequence is not that death ends life, but there is that, but that we are still in our sins. The dreadful consequences is not that death ends life if Christ is not risen. The dreadful consequence is that we're still in sin. We've never been pardoned. And if Christ is not risen, there is no pardon nor forgiveness. And if so, the only thing that faces all of us, even the preacher in the pulpit this morning, is a lost, undone eternity, a lost sinner's hell. That's all that faces us this morning, friend. If Christ is not risen, even the preacher in the pulpit. And Paul said, if Christ is not risen, there's no forgiveness. But thank God this morning Christ is risen. Thank God this morning there is pardon. I don't care how big a wretch a man or a woman may be, there's pardoning grace. Doesn't matter how many sins we've committed, how deep dyed those sins are, there's pardoning grace. Why? Because Jesus is alive. I remember we used to sing a hymn in one of the churches where I was minister, and it went something like this, that the blood can go deeper than the stain is gone. The blood can go deeper than the stain is gone. That blood was the blood that was shed at Calvary by Christ, and that Christ that shed his blood at Calvary rose again. I reminded you the other night of the title of that book written by an American preacher, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's here, men and women. Jesus is alive. Because he's alive, there is forgiveness. But Paul tells us another thing, and I'm watching the clock. He tells us that if there's no resurrection, there's no Savior, no resurrection, there's no message, no faith. All the preachers were liars. There's no forgiveness. But he said, if there's no resurrection, there's no coming resurrection. Look again at verse 17 and 18 of 1 Corinthians 5. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Or as one rendering puts it, they're lost. If there's no resurrection, it's all over, says Paul. If there's no resurrection, this is all that we have. If there's no resurrection, then there's nothing to look forward to. If there's no resurrection, we can't say with John Wesley when he was dying, the best is still to be. I understand one of your ministers here, the Reverend Derek McMeekin, I believe that's inscribed in his tombstone, the best is yet to be. But if there's no resurrection, that's not true. Weymouth's translation puts it like this, it follows also that those who are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If there's no resurrection, we'll just perish. Or as another translation puts it, and if Christ wasn't raised, then all you're doing is wandering around in the dark, lost forever. If there's no resurrection, says Paul, there's no coming resurrection. Oh, but thank God this morning, there is a resurrection, and there is a coming resurrection. The dead in Christ one day will rise, and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a resurrection morning's coming. What a glorious dawning. What a day is yet to come. On that day when the Lord returns, the glorious resurrection. And because He lives, we shall live also. Last weekend, we were faced with an awful tragedy when that family car slipped into the sea at Bruncranna. That young man who stripped off his clothes and rushed into the water brought that little baby back. And two of them came back. Two of them are alive today. Had he drowned, the baby probably would have drowned. And no one would have come back. That's what would have happened, friend, if Jesus had not risen. There would be no resurrection. But Jesus has risen, and there is coming a glorious day of resurrection. Christ has risen, and we will rise also. We will rise with Him. The old Puritan Thomas Watson, the 17th century Puritan, said, we are more sure to rise out of our graves than we are out of our beds. More sure to rise out of our graves than out of our beds. Friend, our friends can bring us to the grave, and they must leave us there. But God can bring us from the grave. One day there's going to be a resurrection. But let me remind you, friend, on that resurrection day, there's going to be a resurrection for those who love the Lord to life eternal. For those who don't know the Lord, it's to a lost eternity. A lost eternity. Over the years that I've been a minister, I've conducted probably hundreds of funerals. And you know, I've stood at the grave and done the committal. And sometimes I've stood at the grave of people who really love God and walk with God and knew God. And you know, I really enjoy saying this. It may sound strange, but I really enjoy saying, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in sure and certain hope of a resurrection to life everlasting. But there are others who left no testimony, who didn't leave behind any semblance of grace. And I just simply say this, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. There will be a resurrection, but it won't be a resurrection to everlasting life. It'll be a resurrection to eternal damnation, as the Word of God tells us. Well, I'm almost finished. No Savior, no message, no faith. We've preached a lot of lies and we're liars. No forgiveness. No coming resurrection. But Paul says if there's no resurrection, Christians are worse off than sinners. Notice what he says in verse 19. If in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. You know, sometimes I think it would be worthwhile being a Christian even if there was nothing after it. Been wonderful. But if there's nothing, friend, if there is no resurrection, then Christians are worse off than sinners. Oh, we have no more hope than a sinner has if there's no resurrection. We have nothing to look forward to any more than a sinner has. We have no blessed land of perfect day. We have no golden streets of heaven. There's no basking in that sunshine of glory. There's no meeting the Savior again. But thank God, because He has risen, we shall rise also. And I tell you, the child of God is far better off than those who don't know the Lord this morning. We're going to see Jesus one day. We're going to see Him in all His glory. The Apostle John could write, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." I'm going to see Jesus one day. I'm going to see Him in all His splendor and glory. The Lamb who was slain. And every child of God who has died in Christ and gone on before us, they've already seen the King in His glory. And if there's no resurrection, we're worse off than sinners, but thank God there has been a resurrection. It was Tozer who said that at the close of every obituary of a believing child of God, we should add the words, "henceforth, henceforth." And Charles Wesley, in his great Easter hymn, put it, "Christ the Lord is risen today, hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high, hallelujah. Sing ye heavens and earthly cry, hallelujah. Lives again our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Once He died our souls to save, where's thy victory boasting grave?" Yes. If there's no resurrection, we're no better off than those who are unconverted. Billy Graham once met Konrad Adenauer, one time Chancellor of West Germany. He was asking Billy Graham about the resurrection. He said this, "If Jesus Christ is alive, there is hope for the world. If not, I don't see the slightest glimmer of hope on the horizon," said Adenauer. And then he added this, "I believe Christ's resurrection to be one of the best attested facts in history." And Dr. G.I. Packer put it so well. He says, "The victim of Calvary is now loose and at large." Oh, He's living. And thank God He is alive. And those words of Paul, after all these kind of negative looking at these things, he says, "But Christ is risen from the grave." If you don't remember anything I've said this morning, take this home with you. Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen. And may God help you and bless you on this Easter Sunday. We're going to sing our closing.